Hello, welcome back to the Magic Woods Podcast. This episode is called Wedding Presents. Well, the next few months after the Great Battle were pleasant ones in Midworld. The refugees from other worlds were welcomed by the residents of Midworld, and many of them decided to live in Sundrop City, and there were plenty of houses for everyone. There was much work to be done to get ready for winter, but everyone pulled together and made it happen. For their leadership and bravery, the inhabitants of Midworld unanimously elected Whisker and Pinky to be their king and queen. The couple moved into the castle, and Mira said, "At last, we get to live in a castle!" They let their friends live there too, Ripit, who was slowly learning to create, not just pull apart, and Chippy, and Bunny, and Doggy. Mur, who didn't remember Doggy from before, spent a lot of time trying to teach him how to play. He didn't seem capable of learning games, but he was snuggly, and she often curled up next to him on the royal couch. Bunny remained hopeless and morose. But Pinky spent time every day in her company, not saying anything, but just being there. Bonky Donkey got a job with a cadre of reformed trolls, breaking rock to smash new tunnels and caves for them in the impassable mountains. White Fig, the weather owl, became a royal advisor to the new king and queen. Doofer and Dumbling got jobs as royal gardeners. And Larry the Scorpion stopped being a warrior and became a dancer. He opened a ballet school. There was a place in Sundrop City for everyone. The author stayed in his tower, sometimes entertaining visitors with coffee and stories. Pinky proposed to Whisker on Valentine's Day, and he said yes! The peoples of Midworld were excited for a royal wedding. But Whisker and Pinky wanted to wait a little while to see if Kitty would somehow make her way back to their world. They decided to get married on the first day of summer. And Pinky said, "Hopefully Kitty will have found her way back to us by then." Bunny said, "She won't. We'll never see her again. She probably died when that world exploded, you know, the one that they left her behind on." And Pinky, or Queen Pinky, said, "Maybe, but you never know." Spring came, and the Dakins taught the new Midworldians how to garden. The Exbeans and their BDO buddies planted some geogebra seeds and grew a healthy crop of the quick-growing miracle substance. By the end of springtime, there were restaurants, cafes, and stores bustling throughout Sundrop City. At last, the day of the wedding drew near, and Pinky said, "I don't think Kitty's coming." Whisker said, "No, I guess we'll just have to find a way to move on." He actually missed Kitty, especially after hearing of her selfless exploits and saving the refugees from lost worlds. The morning of the wedding dawned bright and fair. It promised to be a sunny day, not too warm, with a fine, refreshing breeze blowing in off the sea. Pinky said, "Oh, it's like a perfect wedding day from a storybook." Peoples and animals came from all over that world. They had so many guests that they had to hold the wedding outside, on a wide lawn by the sea. To the surprise of the Magic Woods animals, Xanadu the wizard came to the wedding. He was accompanied by a swamp witch named Zinda, who Mur had once known.
"Hello again," Xanadu said to Whisker and Pinky, "and congratulations."
Zinda frowned when she saw Mur frolicking in the courtyard. "What happened to her?" Pinky said, "Oh, she drank life water and turned young. She was never that age in real life, so it made her younger than her memories could stretch. She doesn't remember anything of her life before." Whisker said, "Yeah, she thinks she's our kid." Zinda sighed and shook her head. "I may be able to reverse the spell. if I had some of this same life water you referred to.
Pinky sighed. Alas, we do not. It came from a spring in Dilica, but the water dragon has fixed all the springs in that country. Life water no longer exists.
Ah.
Whisker adjusted his tuxedo nervously and cleared his throat.
Actually, there is a little bit of life water left.
Pinky turned on him, her wedding dress swaying. What?
I still have some inside Doggy's old water bottle from when we healed Myrrh.
Pinky said, what, you've kept it all this time?
Whisker said, well, it's just been in my pack. It seemed a shame to just throw it away.
Pinky shook her head, but then she smiled and she said, oh, Whisker, you're such a pack rat.
He said, no, that's literally true.
And Zenda said, bring this life water to me. So Whisker fetched the bottle full of life water. He handed it to Zenda, who sniffed the contents warily. She frowned, considered a moment, then nodded.
Yes, with the proper ingredients, I can reverse the aging effect of the life water. But I can't reverse the change to her lifespan, however.
Zenda poured a few drops of life water into a golden dish. Then she added some wild herbs and other ingredients that the Dakins were able to procure from their gardens and fields. She stirred the mix together counterclockwise and muttered some arcane words of magic.
Geracto Rolda.
The mix shimmered lightly, as if it had just been tickled by a mystic light. Pinky and Whisker called Myrrh over, and she said,
what is it, Mommy and Daddy?
They handed the mix to her and looked sad, and Pinky said, drink this, honey.
And Myrrh said, what? Why? And why are you and Daddy sad?
Whisker said, we love you, that's all. We're thinking that we will miss you when you grow up, that's all.
Myrrh laughed.
I'm not going to grow up for a long time, Daddy, and I'm not going to drink this weird herbal tea. You and Mommy are acting really sus about it.
Zenda stepped forward and she said,
do you remember me, child?
No, said Myrrh, but she frowned.
Trust me when I say you should drink this brew, Zenda continued. It will bring you back to your true self.
Myrrh stepped back and she said, I'm already my true self. She looked at Pinky and Whisker and said, Mommy, Daddy, what's going on? Whisker was crying. He was going to miss his little girl. He decided to trick her into drinking the potion.
Never mind, everyone, he announced. My daughter's too young to drink this power drink.
Pinky figured out what he was doing, and she wiped away tears and said, yes, you're right, my husband. Our daughter is too young to drink this. Let's give it to someone else.
Myrrh said, no way.
And she snatched the golden bowl.
I'm old enough for anything.
She tipped the bowl and drained it. At once, she began to change. Her fur rippled and ruffled as she grew. Her face changed and grew older. And in less than a minute, she was full grown again, back to her usual self. And Chippy went, and Zenda smiled at Myrrh and said,
do you remember me now?
Myrrh said, of course. Thanks for restoring me.
You remember everything from before? You understand where you are?
Yeah. Zenda nodded once. She turned to Whisker and Pinky and said,
she's cured.
Thank you, they mumbled in reply, trying not to cry. Myrrh smiled at them and she said,
don't worry, Mommy and Daddy. I remember everything, even my time as your kid.
They stared at her. Really?
Yeah. Thanks for being such good,
such pretty good parents to me.
Pinky said, oh, and she hugged Myrrh and said, it's so good to have you back, Myrrh.
Mer smiled, and then she caught sight of Doggy standing motionless and blank.
Oh, Doggy.
She went to him and stroked his paws.
Doggy, I love you. I'm so sorry this happened to you.
Doggy said, sorry this happened to you.
Bunny lurked at the edge of the group, wearing a long black dress more suited for a funeral than a wedding.
She sighed heavily and said, nothing will ever be the same. Life is suffering.
Whisker went,
okay, well, everyone, let's get on with the wedding, shall we?
Suddenly, Cannonball Eddie appeared, and Chippy went,
meow!
Oh!
Cannonball Eddie threw up his hands.
I come bearing gifts.
He pulled a satchel off his shoulder and rummaged inside.
Wedding gifts for this special day. I feel so bad for what happened to all of you.
It was your fault, snapped Bunny, uncharacteristically angry. Cannonball Eddie blushed.
Well now, who can remember who exactly was responsible for which specific things? It was all so long ago, no one remembers anymore.
Before anyone could argue, he pulled out a diamond in the shape of a star. It glowed with a cold, bright light. He handed it to Bunny and said,
this is yours, I believe.
Meow, meow,
said Chippy. Bunny looked at the diamond helplessly.
Wow, there's my hope. Trapped forever inside this diamond. Thanks.
Rippet said,
I might be able to extract it, actually.
He reached for the diamond.
May I?
Bunny handed the star-shaped diamond to Rippet, and he began picking at it with his nimble little fingers, almost like he was pulling out a splinter. And slowly, incredibly, he began to pull apart the diamond. The glowing light within burst free and hung in the air. Bunny stared at it in awe. Zinda muttered something under her breath, and the ball of light turned golden and shot into Bunny's mouth. Bunny gasped. Then her eyes seemed to light up.
It's back, she said. My hope, it's back.
She smiled at her friends.
Oh, I think everything's going to be okay now.
She beamed at Rippet and said, thank you, my dear friend. Thank you so much.
Rippet said, well, you're welcome.
Cannonball Eddie reached into his bag again. He pulled out a tiny space crystal that glowed with a crimson light.
Well, this beauty was hard to come by, he said. Had to prowl around the remnants of Magnolia in a makeshift space frigate.
He handed the crystal to Doggy, who held it without comment. And he said, here's your essence, boy. Bunny turned to Rippet and said,
can you take Doggy's essence out of there and put it back in him?
I'll try.
Rippet began to pull at the tiny crystal. But he couldn't take it apart.
I'm sorry, he said at last. This is made of something stronger than I've ever encountered.
Pinky said, it's space crystal, the hardest stuff in the universe. Oh, Doggy, we're so sorry.
Doggy said, so sorry.
Xanadu, the wizard, took a deep breath and he said,
I know a thing or two, or 10 million, about space crystal. I wonder if I could figure out a way to coax a spirit from within.
He closed his eyes and thought for a long moment, going back through his deep knowledge of magic woods. Then he opened his eyes, gazed intently at the crystal, and waved his hands.
Donalo Sigana! Donalo Sigana! Donalo Sigana!
The red light drifted out of the crystal like smoke. It hovered in the air a moment and then washed over Doggy. He breathed it in and blinked.
Oh,
and a knowing light was kindled in his eyes. He said,
Wow, Ruffy, I've had the weirdest dreams. Doggy! Mer, Bunny, Whisker, Pinky, and Chippy jumped on Doggy in their efforts to hug him. Oh! He cried, toppling backwards with everyone on top of him. Oh, I can't breathe. Zenda smiled at Xanadu and said, "Nice going."
"Thank you," he smiled back at her. "Nice going yourself. You, live around here?"
"In a swamp up in Feneria. You should come by sometime."
Xanadu stroked his beard.
Maybe I will.
The animals helped Doggy to his feet. Bunny smiled through her tears.
Oh, if only Kitty were here, everything would be perfect.
Pew! At that very moment, Kitty appeared, carried in the arms of a strange-looking orange fellow in outlandish clothes.
Kitty!
All her friends rushed over. Kitty blinked disbelievingly. Huh? Bebo set her down and she rushed to meet her friends and she went, Is this real, Meowmy? Are we all together? Is this really happening?
Yes, Ruffy.
Kitty looked at Doggy and said, You're back?
Yeah, as of a few seconds ago.
Kitty squeezed him tight. Oh. Then she swept Bunny up in her arms and kissed her in the sunshine. A cheer went up through the crowd. Hooray! The Lost World refugees cheered the loudest. Kitty Karate's back, our hero! She's back! Then Kitty noticed Cannonball Eddie. Her smile vanished. You, she growled, moving towards him. Bunny and the others held her back.
Kitty, he's the one who saved Doggy and me.
Cannonball Eddie pulled a paperback book from his bag.
I came bearing wedding presents, he said hastily. This one's for you.
Kitty growled at him, but took the book. It was a Dark Danger Dragon novel, her favorite in the series.
Whoa, Meowmy, thank you.
She smiled. All right, all is forgiven. And then Whisker frowned at Cannonball Eddie and said, So you don't actually have any wedding presents, do you?
Oh, I have this for the happy couple,
the little man cried, pulling an envelope from his bag. Whisker and Pinky opened the envelope. Inside was a ticket to Magic Woods.
Cannonball Eddie said, I've had that lying in my bandana and underwear drawer for years.
Gee, thanks, said Whisker. A single ticket to a world that no longer exists, that was moldering in your underwear drawer for years. We're very touched.
Well, you're very welcome, said Cannonball Eddie proudly, hoisting up his pants.
Then he saw someone coming and all the color drained from his face.
Well, I'm out of here, he said suddenly.
Why? Asked Bunny.
Because Rotua's coming.
What? Cannonball Eddie disappeared in a flash. The animals turned to see who he was talking about. They saw the author standing there, clutching a coffee mug, as usual. A strange, sinister smile played across his lips.
Rotua is author, spelled backwards, he explained.
Well, that's the end of the episode, Wedding Presents. The next episode is called Rotua Revealed. Goodbye.